It's up there. Today I'm going to share with you about prayer. Prayer is a burden of mine. I know the Lord wants us to pray more than we do, don't you think? But I've done some recent study in the book of Nehemiah, and what I've found is the book of Nehemiah is a book of prayer. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but it is a book of prayer. And God is showing us something in the book of Nehemiah for, as Steve shared with you last night, and how it's showing us that this is, it's a book that's showing us that this is the end time prophecy of what God is looking for in his people to finish building the wall and finish the work. But in order to do that, we need to be prayer warriors. And prayer is a weapon. We are told that prayer is a weapon. It says here, beware how you neglect secret prayer and a study of God's word. These are your weapons. This is the only way we can fight the enemy. If we don't pray and we don't study the word, we are defenseless against Satan. Defenseless. He will come in and he will attack. He'll attack if you're studying and praying too, but you have weapons that you can fight him off with. But if you are not studying and praying, you are defenseless. It'd be like going into battle without any armor on or any weapon. We wouldn't do that, would we? But this is what we as Christians, we get busy. The cares of life take us away from what is really important. And we forget, or we'd say, Lord, we say a quick prayer, and we rush off to what we need to do for the day. We need to prioritize that time period for God every day. It says here, the first neglect of prayer and Bible study makes easier the second. Have you noticed that? I've noticed it in my life. If we neglect it one day, is it easier tomorrow to neglect it again? The Holy Spirit's talking to us, saying, pray, pray. The first resistance to the Spirit's pleading prepares the way for the second resistance. Thus, the heart is hardened. We don't want hard hearts. We want malleable, soft hearts, so we can hear the voice of God speak to us. And the conscience that is seared when we do this. The prayer of faith, in Signs of the Times, August 24th, 1904, the prayer of faith is the weapon by which we may successfully resist every assault of the enemy. Amen. Every assault. We don't realize what a weapon we have in prayer and talking to our God. We don't realize what a weapon that is. And I don't know if you've ever thought of it, prayer as a weapon, but I'll share with you later when I talk a little bit more about the book of Nehemiah this afternoon, how God led me to see how the weapon in Nehemiah's day was prayer. Let's look at Nehemiah for just a minute. Remember last night when Steve was teaching us in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 1, how Nehemiah mourned and fasted for 4 long months. When I read that and really let that sink into me, I realized, I've never done that. Have anybody here ever done that? Has anyone ever mourned and fasted for 4 months? Now, I doubt he went 4 months without food, but I'm sure he was eating very simply, and really seeking God during that time period, mourning over the reproach of God's cause and his name. As Adventists, we need to do the same. We need to be weeping and crying between the porch and the altar because we have not finished the work. We have got to mourn over this. We've got to realize our state of being. If we don't see that we need God and his prayer time, we will never, ever change. We need this time with God. I can think of 2 times in my life where I was so sad that it brought me to fasting and prayer for days, but not 4 months. Recently, I've had something happen to me that it took a couple months where I fasted and prayed. I ate only 1 meal a day because I was just mourning and mourning over something. And the Lord showed me that is the state in which he can really work in our lives when we get to that place of total brokenness before God and seeking His power and His face to finish or to fix something that is broken in our own lives, or to fix, maybe interceding for someone else or for our church as a whole. We need this for revival and reformation. We have got to realize the state we are in. Do you think that God wants to talk to us? You know that He wants to talk to us more than we want to talk to Him. Do you believe that? He gives us this promise in Jeremiah 33:3. I claim it a lot. And whenever I claim this promise, I hear from Him. He talks to me. He shows me something. He tells me something I need to know. It says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In the morning when you get up, do you know what's going to happen for the day? Do any of us know what's going to happen when we step outside? We don't. God wants to tell us. He desires to tell you what's going to happen today and what you need to be prepared for and what you need to pray for. The Holy Spirit wants to tell you and wants you to pray for those things so you can be ready. The fight is on our knees. That's where the battle begins. In the book of Nehemiah, there were many times in which Nehemiah spoke to the fact that the Lord told him things. If you look at chapter 4 and verse 15, God told him that the enemy was planning an attack. And in 6:12, Nehemiah perceived that God had not sent this particular man with a message. He knew that only because he was praying. And then in chapter 9, Ezra stood up and read the book of the law, and the people heard God speaking to them. And His words brought confession, repentance, and reformation. God speaks to us in many ways. I cannot count the times that I have come to the Lord and claimed this promise right here, and He has told me things. And every time He has told me something that I did not know it, I was amazed at how He told me things that I needed to know. One morning when I was culpering in Eureka, I didn't have any leads. I didn't have anywhere to go. So I decided the Lord impressed me that I needed to go cold canvassing, door to door. I said, Lord, I don't know where to go today, but You know where I need to go. And I prayed. And I listened. I stopped. I asked God, where is it You wanted me to go today? Fifth Street became just emblazoned on my mind. And I said, okay, Lord, that's where I'm going. I got up. I got my books. I started at the end of Fifth Street. I got all the way to Main Street. Got all the way to Main Street. And nobody would answer the door or nobody would let me in. I got to Main Street, and I had 3 hours before I had to pick up Hannah from school. So I said, okay, Lord, I've got 3 hours. Somebody must be on the other side of Main Street that I need to meet. Tell me where. I just kept going, knocking, 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 knocking. Went down about 4 blocks. But looking at the time, saying, Lord, don't have much time. Who is it? Where is she? Where is he? So I knocked on this door. And a very nice lady came to the door. She's here, right here. Miss Nancy answered the door. And she told me later, she didn't let people in usually. But she must have just liked my smile. I don't know. But she let me in, and I got to share with her the books. And she bought The Great Controversy and the New Testament of the Bible Story books for her grandchildren. And we had a wonderful conversation. And it came to the point where I was about ready to go and have prayer with her. And I said, have you ever studied the prophecies before? She says, no, I haven't. I said, would you like to? She says, you know, I think I would. So that began a wonderful friendship. And we began to study every week. And Nancy began to study with me, and we had a wonderful time. And then we had an evangelistic series, and Nancy came to that. And Nancy, because of Nancy, she introduced me to all kinds of ladies in Eureka that I would have never met if it wasn't for Nancy. God sent me to her door. Does He want you to send you to doors? And because of Nancy, I met Vicky, and Vicky's sitting right here beside her. And because of that, more people are in the church too, and more and more. It's just a wonderful story. And Jaron, he's here, you know, he's here too. And there's so many people that we don't realize God wants us to go meet. We've got to go see them and touch their lives and give them a love of God so that they desire to study His Word and find out what God wants to tell them. God has a message for each of us. You know, but one thing that the Lord has shown me is that communion is a two-way street. Have you ever thought about, or have you ever had a friend, maybe, that came and talked to you and called you up or maybe saw you at church and talk. All they did is want to tell you about everything about them, and then they never wanted to hear anything about you. Have you ever had a friend like that? I've had friends like that, and I've probably been that kind of friend before. If I have, forgive me if I've done that to you. To talk, tell you all about yourself and everything that's going on, and then they really are not interested in hearing anything about you. And you, after a while, if you're a friend with someone like that, you tend not to really want to be around that person. Do we do that to God? Do we tell God everything we want? Do we talk to Him and then we rush off? I love this quote in Education, page 260. It says, many in their seasons of devotion fail of receiving the blessing of real communion. Do you want real communion with God? Real communion? They are in too great a haste. I've been guilty of this. Okay, I'm kind of a person, I like to get things done. Are you like that? Check, got my prayer done. Check, got my Bible study done. Check, check, check. Got a list of things I've got to do today. Check, 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 check. Are we in too great a haste when we come before God? She says, with hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps a moment within the sacred precincts, but not waiting for counsel. They have no time to remain with the divine teacher. With their burdens, they return to their work. We give it to God, we take it back. We really never even gave it to Him. We just rush through it. She says, not a pause for a moment in His presence, but personal contact with Christ, to sit down in companionship with Him. This is our need. We have to have this, you guys. We've got to have that time. And He tells us in His Word, be still and know that I am God. Quit talking. Listen to Him. I want to tell you something. I want to share with you something. Listen to me. And it says in His Word, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We need to hear Jesus' voice. Amen? Are you hearing Him? How do we hear His voice, though? There's five ways in which the Spirit of Prophecy tells us that we hear the voice of God. We hear it through the Scriptures. We hear His voice in nature. We hear His voice through godly men and women. We hear it through providence, things that happen in our life. And we also hear it through impression. Those are the five ways. I'm going to just focus a little bit, just a few minutes, because I know we're running out of time, on the Bible and hearing His voice from the Word of God. It says, do we hear Christ's voice? Are we following Him? It is of great importance that we know whether we are following the true shepherd. In order to know this, we must search His Word. For it is His voice speaking to us, what says the Scriptures. This is to be our watchword at every step. In God's Word, we may find an answer to every question. From it shines upon our pathway, revealing the Good Shepherd as He goes before us. If you hear an impression or a thought that you're not sure is from God, you go to the Word. And one time I had that happen back in 1996. I was vacuuming my house. Some of you may have heard my testimony before. And God said, quit your job and work for me. Now, I thought I was a little loony hearing voices. And I thought, how could this really be Him? How do I know for sure this is Him? And when that happened, the phone rang, and I ran to the phone, and there was no one there. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit just surround me, and I dropped to my knees, and I said, God, You're calling me, but to what? I didn't know for sure, though. I was thinking maybe I wanted this so badly that my mind was doing this, you know, because I was unhappy in my situation, and I wanted to quit my job and work for Him. But was He really telling me to? Or was it me that really wanted to do that? So what did I do? Next morning I got up and I got my devotional out, and you know what it said? This is the Scripture. that it said for me, God's timing is impeccable. Do you ever see how He leads your devotional life? Have you ever experienced that? For when you're reading something, you know that He had put it there for you to read for that particular day. Have you had that experience? That is so exciting. He is telling you things. Here, He told me that morning, you did not choose me. Oh, that just gave me peace. Okay, this isn't me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. I knew then. I just sensed the presence of God telling me, it was me who said that, and yes, I have called you, and yes, you have a work for me to do, and then I was like, what? You know, but that's another story. So, I began to see that prayer was a conversation with God and Bible study. And you know, the Word is His voice, and He's speaking to us. So what I began to do was to take His Word before me and kneel with the Bible in front of me, and I just was like, He was speaking to me, and then I would speak to Him, and He would speak to me, and then I would speak to Him. And that's how we had a conversation with God. And listen what it says in Education, page 260. If we keep the Lord ever before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise to Him, we shall have a continual freshness in our religious life. Our prayers will take the form of a conversation with God as we would talk with a friend. Isn't that awesome, you guys? That is something we got to claim. We got to ask God for this. We need to have this conversation with God every day, every morning. He will speak His mysteries to us personally. He wants to tell you something. He wants to share with you what's going to happen that day. Or maybe He wants you to call someone who's hurting. Or maybe He wants you to go to so-and-so's house and take care of something. You have got to be ready to go on God's errands, and you've got to listen to Him so He can tell you what He wants you to do. I don't do this enough. I'm preaching to myself. We all need to do this. We all have got to. He wants to tell us personal things. Personal things. Maybe there's a really good friend of yours that needs you and you don't know it. Because people can hide these things and they don't show you. And Song of Solomon says in chapter 7, verse 10, I am my beloved's and His desire is toward me. We've got to really believe that God desires. He's our beloved. He desire is for us. He is toward us. We got to really believe that God loves us so much. He wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to us more than we want to talk to Him. He really does. He wants to tell us things. And we just don't have the time to listen. Or maybe we're distracted. Or maybe we're sad. Maybe we're depressed. Maybe we've got a lot of problems. Or maybe we're just stressed out with our job. You know? And maybe we're just busy working for God and we don't even have time for Him. I've been there. I don't have time to pray, God. I've got a Bible study and I've got this and I've got that. And He's like, wait a minute. You've got your priorities all messed up here. In Psalms 144:3, it says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? King David was just amazed that God was mindful of man. I am amazed that He is mindful of me and wants to talk to me. Do you feel that way? That He wants to tell you things? He wants to talk to you? He will wake you up. When Hannah, my daughter, was an infant, oh, I was so sleep deprived. I know a lot of you might be sleep deprived for other things, but I remember that period of time. I was so tired when she was little. And I would just pray, Lord, wake me up. I cannot get up to have time with you. And then she gets up and then my day's over as far as having time with you goes. So please wake me up. And I found this promise in Isaiah 50, verse 4. And it says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. And I would claim that, and I turn my alarm off. I claim that promise, Lord, wake me up. Whichever time you want to talk to me, wake me up. And He does. He wakes you up. And I said, Lord, you're going to have to wake me up and make me alert because I am tired. He's woke me up before and I can choose to go back to sleep. And I've done that many times. He always wakes me up. But I have a choice. Do I get up and be with him or do I go back to sleep? And that's a choice, and that's the struggle. But even pray that He'll give you power and strength to get out of that bed and go have time with Him. Well, one morning, I remember specifically, He woke me up, and then Hannah was crying. And I ran up, and her monitor was going off, and I ran up to her room. It's upstairs. I ran up there. She was sleeping peacefully like a baby. She was not crying. But I heard a cry. But you know what? I got up, and I realized, I'm up. Okay, God, You got me out of bed. Now we can have our time together. One thing I realized is that prayer is the key to heaven's storehouse. This is in Steps to Christ. Why should the sons and daughters of God be reluctant to pray when prayer is the key in the hand of faith to unlock heaven's storehouse, where our treasures, our boundless resources of the omnipotence. He is desiring to give us such blessings when we come to Him in prayer. I don't know what time I need to stop. Can you tell me now? Okay, I'm not able to finish. But the next section was persistent prayer and fasting in prayer. And we'll go over a little bit about fasting later in the book of Nehemiah. So I know you know about how we need to be persistent and how sometimes God calls us to fast when we really need something urgently to fast and pray. And then, let's see what other things just to share with you real quickly so we can finish. And the power of united prayer. And I didn't get to that. But I don't know if you guys go to prayer meeting, but God gives us a specific promise. I just want to read this to be our final thought. It's in letter 32, 1903, page 5. The power of united prayer. Prayer meeting is essential. It's not something you think, oh, I can't make it this week. It's essential for the growth of the church, for the growth personally, for the unity of God's people to finish the work. This is imperative that you come to prayer meeting and come weekly to pray together. Let me share with you something that we are promised if we do this. As a church, we have received great light. This light the Lord has entrusted to us for the benefit and the blessing of the world. To us it's been given the ministry of reconciliation. We are encouraged to pray for success with the divine assurance that our prayers will be heard and answered. If two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Ask of me, and I will answer your requests. The promise, though, is made on condition that the united prayers of the church are offered. And in answer to these prayers, there may be expected a power greater than that which comes in answer to private prayer. Our united corporate prayers are essential. I cannot say this strong enough. They are essential. If you really want to grow, if you really want your church to grow, if you really want to share God's word and finish the work so Jesus can come and we can leave this horrible place, we got to come together to pray. We must do this. The power given will be, listen, the power given will be proportionate to the unity of the members and their love of God and for one another. So if we don't love one another, our prayers will be hindered. If we don't love each other, if we have any differences, we've got to make them right. We've got to make them right with each other. And we've got to love each other. And if you don't love a certain individual in the church, you've got to ask God to give you love. Because forgiveness and love does not come from within. It only comes from God, the source of love. And I've learned that forgiveness cannot come from myself. I cannot conjure up forgiveness. I cannot conjure up love. It only is the source of God pouring it in me. And if there's any differences, pray that God will give you forgiveness and love and come together and pray. And He will bless. He will pour out His Spirit. And you will just be amazed at what He'll do. Thank you so much. Let's have closing prayer. What should I do, Pastor Berger? Should we pray? Okay. Thank you so much, Father God, that we can be together in Your house this morning. I just praise You for the Sabbath day of rest, a day to spend in contemplation of You and Your wonderful mercy and grace and love that You shed abroad upon us. I just pray that You would speak to us. Speak through Pastor Steve and me and help us to share what You want us to say. May these be your words and not ours. I just praise you, God, for the ability to be here in this community of believers, my family, my friends that you've given me. Thank you, God, so much. May you just pour out your spirit and give us unity today, fellowship in the Lord. And we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.